Well, good morning, everybody. This is Tobias Rex, and this is the Sharks, Dinosaurs, and Mythical Creatures podcast coming at you right now. I've decided to make a very, very special episode. See, since Christmas is coming soon, I have decided to make an episode of me reading almost everyone's favorite Christmas story, How the Grinch Stole Christmas by Dr. Seuss. And I know the majority of you who are listening to this love that story. And personally, my favorite version of the story is Jim Carrey's Grinch. Because Jim Carrey's Grinch actually goes on to explain why he's such a jerk. So, to make this episode more entertaining, I will use bits of audio from Jim Carrey's Grinch. But anyways, enough of that, and here we go. Alright, once upon a time, inside a snowflake, like the one on your sleeve, there happened a story that you must see, or in this case, hear, to believe. Way up in the mountains, in the high range of Pontoos, lay the small town of Whoville, home of the Whos. Ask any Who, and they'll have this to say: there is no place like Whoville around Christmas Day. Every window was flocked, every lamppost was dressed, and the Whoville band marched in their Christmassy best. Arbor Day was fine, and Easter was pleasant, and every St. Fizzen's Day they ate a fizz pheasant. But every Who knew, from their toes to their snout, they loved Christmas the most, without a single Who doubt. Yes, every Who down in Whoville liked Christmas a lot. But the Grinch, who lived just north of Whoville, did not. The Grinch hated Christmas, the whole Christmas season. Now, please don't ask why, because no one quite knows the reason. It could be that his head wasn't screwed on just right. It could be, perhaps, that his shoes were too tight. But I think that the most likely reason of all may have been that his heart was two sizes too small. But whatever the reason, his heart or his shoes, he stood there outside his cave on Christmas Eve, hating the Whos.
Alphabetically. Aardvarkian, Abaconasia, Who? I hate you! Heard me mention who? I hate you. Hate, 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 hate. Double hate. Loathe entirely.
Staring down from his cave with a sour, grinchy frown at the warm lighted windows below in their town, for he knew every Who down in Whoville beneath was busy now, hanging a mistletoe wreath. And they're hanging their stockings, he snarled with a sneer.
Christmas. It's practically here.
Then he growled, with his Grinch fingers nervously drumming. I must find some way to stop Christmas from coming! For tomorrow he knew that all the Who girls and boys would wake up bright and early, and they'd rush for their toys. That's the one thing he hated. Then the Whos, young and old, would sit down for a feast. And they'd feast, and they'd feast.
And there's feast, 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 feast. There's Who pudding. And rare Who roast. Feast. But there's something I just cannot stand in the least. Who knew? I'm speaking in rhyme! Ah! Blast you!
And then they'd do something he liked least of all. Every Who down in Whoville, the tall and the small, would stand close together with Christmas bells ringing. They'd stand hand in hand, and the Whos would start singing. They'd sing and they'd sing, sing, sing. And the more the Grinch thought of what this Who Christmas would bring, the more the Grinch thought,
I must stop this whole thing. Year after year, I've put up with it now. I must stop this Christmas from coming. But how? I mean, in what way?
Then he got an idea. An awful idea. The Grinch got a wonderful awful idea.
I know just what to do.
The Grinch laughed in his throat. And he made a quick Santa Claus hat and a coat. And he chuckled and clucked and said, "What a great Grinchy trick.
With this coat and this hat, I look just like Saint Nick.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. You really are a heel.
You're as cuddly as a cactus, and as charming as a deer, Mr. Grinch.
You're a bad banana with a greasy black beard.
Just face the music, you're a monster. Mr. Grinch, yes you are.
Your heart's an empty hole.
Your brain is full of spiders. You got Gallagher's solo, Mr. Grinch. I wouldn't touch you with a
39 and a half a
pole." And in an effort to ruin Christmas Day, he started to work in order to make a sleigh.
I asked for 3/4, not 5/8. Stay focused! You know, if you ask the who's who of Whoville,
no one's denying.
Ouch.
Of a seasick crocodile, Mr. Grinch.
Given the choice between you, I'd take the seasick crocodile.
The Grinch looked around, but since reindeer are scarce, there was none to be found. But did that stop the old Grinch? No. The Grinch simply said,
"If I can't find a reindeer, I'll make one instead."
So he called his dog Max and took some red thread and he tied a big horn on the top of his head. Then he loaded some bags and some old empty sacks and on a ramshackle sleigh he hitched up old Max. Then the Grinch said, "Giddy up!" And the sleigh started down toward the homes where the Whos lay a snooze in their town. All their windows were dark, quiet snow filled the air, and all the Whos were dreaming, sweet dreams without a care. When he came to the first little house on the square,
"Come on, Max, it's our first stop,"
the old Grinchy Claus hissed, and he climbed to the roof, empty bags in his fist. Then he slid down the chimney, a rather tight pinch, but if Santa could do it, then so could the Grinch. He got stuck only once, for a moment or two, then he stuck his head out of the fireplace flue. "Hey, I'm reading here." Where the little Who stockings all hung in a row.
"These stockings,"
he grinned,
"are the first thing to go."
Then he slithered and slunk, with a smile most unpleasant, around the whole room, and he took every present. Popguns, bicycles, roller skates, drums, checkerboards, tricycles, popcorn, and plums. And he stuffed them in bags, then the Grinch, very nimbly, stuffed all the bags one by one up the chimney. Then he slunk to the icebox. He took the Who's feast. He took the Who pudding. He took the roast beast. He cleaned out that icebox as quick as a flash. Why, that Grinch even took their last can of Who hash. Then he stuffed all the food up the chimney with glee.
And now,
grinned the Grinch.
I stuff up the tree.
And the Grinch grabbed the tree, and he started to shove, when he heard a small sound, like the coo of a dove. He turned around fast, and he saw a small Who, little Cindy Lou who was not more than 2. The Grinch had been caught by this tiny Who daughter, who had got up out of bed for a cup of cold water. She stared at the Grinch and said,
"Santa Claus, what are you doing with our tree?"
But, you know, that old Grinch was so smart and so slick, he thought up a lie, and he thought it up quick.
"My sweet little dog,"
the fake Santa Claus lied.
"There's a light on this tree that won't light on one side. So I'm taking it home to my workshop, my dear."
And his fib fooled the child. Then he patted her head, and he got her a drink, and he sent her to bed. And when Cindy Lou Who went to bed with her cup, he went to the chimney and stuffed the tree up. Then the last thing he took was the log for their fire. Then he went up the chimney himself, the old liar. On their walls, he left nothing but hooks and some wire. And the one speck of food that he left in the house was a crumb that was too small, even for a mouse. Then he did the same thing to the other Who's houses, leaving crumbs much too small for the other Who's mouses. It was 12:15, all the Who's still abed, and all the Who's still a snooze when he packed up his sled. Packed it with their presents, the ribbons, the wrappings, the tags and the tinsel, the trimmings and the trappings. 3,000 feet up the side of Mount Crumpet, he rode with his load to the tip-top to dump it. "Poo-poo to the Who's," he was grinchously humming. "They're finding out that no Christmas is coming. They're just waking up. I know just what they'll do. Their mouths will hang open a minute or two. Then the Who's down in Whoville will all cry boo-hoo." "That's a noise," grinned the Grinch, "that I simply must hear." So he paused, and the Grinch put his hand to his ear. And he did hear a sound rising over the snow. It started in low, then it started to grow. But the sound wasn't sad. Why, this sounded merry. And it was merry. Very. He stared down at Whoville. The Grinch popped his eyes. Then he shook. What he saw was a shocking surprise. Every Who down in Whoville, the tall and the small, was singing without any presents at all. He hadn't stopped Christmas from coming. It came.
"Somehow or other, it came just the same."
And the Grinch, with his Grinch feet ice cold in the snow, stood puzzling and puzzling.
"How could it be so? It came without ribbons. It came without tags. It came without packages, boxes, or bags."
He puzzled and he puzzled until his puzzler was sore. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before.
"Maybe Christmas,"
he thought,
"doesn't come from a star. Maybe Christmas, perhaps, means a little bit more." Ha ha ha!
And what happened then? Well, in Whoville, they say that the Grinch's small heart grew 3 sizes that day. And then, the true meaning of Christmas came through, and the Grinch found the strength of 10 Grinches, plus 2. And the minute his heart didn't feel quite so tight, he whizzed with his load through the bright morning light, and he brought back the toys and the food for the feast, and he himself, the Grinch, carved the roast beast. Well, that's going to be my Christmas episode for you guys. I hope you enjoyed it. I will see you all next year. I hope you enjoyed my podcast for this year. And to end the episode, the Who's and the Grinch will sing for us.